Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 142, recorded on August 16th, 2017. On tonight's episode, we talk about the Samus Edition new 3DS XL, Mewtwo's coming to raid battles in Pokemon Go soon, good luck finding him, Sonic Mania has released for the Switch and other systems, and Nintendo is going to hold a special panel at PAX West 2017. All this and so much more. Hey, Jesse, not Zach, Jesse, cue the music. Hey guys, welcome to Nintendo Dads episode 142. I am Marty Estes and I'll be your host tonight in lieu of Zach Erickson, who actually has adulting to do in the morning. He has work to get up for extra early, and so he and Justin can't be here tonight. But I will tell you who is with me, and that is the man from VG Tribune, Mr. Jesse Waldack. How you doing, Jesse?
Pretty good. Yeah, both of us tried to get a hold of people to sit in the third and fourth chair, and no one was available. Of course, you know, that's what happens when you're talking to East Coast people at 15 minutes before you want to start recording.
That's true. In fact, and we're not the only ones. I saw on Facebook right before we started recording that good friend of the show, Jacob Rush, over at Nintendo Nostalgia, actually, they lost their entire episode's worth of audio tonight.
Oh!
After it was recorded. That is not fun. And so, Jacob, hope you guys got another podcast recorded. We are going to record a podcast, and there's a ton of stuff to get into, even though this has not been a very newsworthy week. And so, let's just kick it off and let's get right into some news, shall we? And, of course, the news this week is brought to us by Patreon.com/NintendoDads. For as little as $1 a week, you can go over to Patreon.com and help us change the world and make more family-friendly Nintendo content for everybody. And we want to thank our newest patron, Joe Barrett, for helping us to create more great content. And there's actually a couple of things going on over at the old Patreon page within the next couple weeks. The first is that Retro Rewind is coming back August 30th. I hope you guys are playing Donkey Kong 64 along with us because, let's be honest, we don't like suffering alone. And also, monthly Patreon hangout will be on August 30th as well at 9 p.m. Central Time, 10 p.m. Eastern. For patrons, you will get a special link to come and join me and the other Nintendo dads that can make it in a special hangout where we just kind of talk about whatever. If you want to come and talk about Metroid, you can do that. If you want to come and talk about face banks that eat coins, you can do that too. You can talk about whatever. You're confused there.
That was disturbing.
Yeah. This thing is one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen. As a sensor here in the front. Hang on, I'm going to turn it on. Yep. That's nightmare fuel right there.
That is horrible.
But you know what's not nightmare fuel, Jesse?
What is?
This week, Nintendo released or announced that, actually, I think it was right after our show last week, which is what always happens in Nintendo Dad Land, that they would be making a new version of the 3DS XL. Actually, not a new version, but a new style of the new 3DS XL. And guess what? It's going to be Samus Edition for us Metroid fans out there. And so have you seen this?
I have, and I'm actually not impressed. I think it's kind of ugly.
you know what's funny is I think
I'm the only one. I'm one of the few people with that opinion. Everyone else is going ape crap about it.
Well, you know, if you go and look at our line chat, actually they're not. I'm actually surprised that you have seen people who are excited about it. For the most part, I've seen people kind of busted on Nintendo over it about how lazy it is. And so if you haven't seen this, you need to go look it up online. They're doing a Samus Edition new 3DS XL, which is kind of weird seeing as how they just put out the new 2DS XL. It kind of makes more sense maybe to do it for that. I don't know.
Putting Samus artwork on the Galaxy would have made more sense.
Oh, yeah, that would actually been. See, there you go. There's another good idea. Chalk that one up to a missed opportunity. Actually, the I'm sure that the reason it's on the 3DS XL is because this is one of the few games now for 3DS that's being made that actually takes advantage of the stereoscopic 3D.
What I've heard from people who have early copies is it's probably the best 3D implementation.
Really?
Like ever on the system.
See that? That sounds really good, but I'm not able to get 3D anymore. Well, I can play it on my son's.
Yeah, you can hijack your. Yes. Yeah, I was gonna say you can hijack your kid's system.
I may do that. I may just do that once he goes to bed. but here's the deal. So it's a black on the inside. It's all on the inside. It's all black. Even the buttons, the control pad, everything is black, except for the markings on the buttons are like the Super Nintendo colors, you know, YXBA. On the outside, on the back, you get a gold plate on the back, and on the front, you get a red plate that features Samus in like her crouch down, you know, kind of leg out shooting pose that I think that's Prime inspired, isn't it?
I believe so.
I think a lot of people call that the Prime pose. I'm sure I'll get corrected about that if I'm wrong. But anyway, so it's there, and that's it. The shoulder buttons aren't any different. The like any of the like little details on the inside aren't any different. It doesn't even come with a copy of the game.
I'm not surprised. It's just,
no, I mean, we've seen Nintendo do this with Majora's Mask. We've seen them do it with the Pokemon editions of the new 3DS, you know, the smaller one. It didn't even come with Pokemon, did it?
No.
Didn't it? So, yeah. So
and of course, like other new 3DS XLs, it does not come with a power supply.
Right, right. So let's count here. Majora's Mask, Fire Emblem Fates, Pokemon Sun and Moon, new 3DS for the re-release Game Boy Pokemon, now this without a game. So, you know, you got to kind of balance it out here. I mean, you can get a new, here's how I look at this. You can get the new, if you don't already have it, or if you just really, really want this one, you can get this for $200. It's $199. For our friends up in Canada and elsewhere, it's probably even more expensive. You're looking at like $250 probably. And then you've got to get a game. You've got to get Samus Returns, because if you're going to have the Samus Returns 3DS, then you need the Samus Returns game to play on it, right? So there's another $40. Now you're
need the amiibos.
Oh yeah, you got to have the amiibos too. So now you're at $250, like, $300, $350, or you could just get a new 2DS XL and get the game, and you're in for less than $200. And so, like, I kind of get why Nintendo's doing this, but it would make it a little more sweet, even if it was like, even if they knocked $200 off or knocked $20 off the price to have a preloaded copy of the game on it. You know, like, I don't get it. Like, digital copies cost them nothing, right?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe, you know, charging $230, which is, you know, $10 off the unit and the game separately.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. $229.
I don't think anyone would have argued.
$229.99 just rolls off the tongue. You know, you can almost hear it on the commercials. With the Metroid in the background, the screech, $229.99 now on new 3DS XL. Yeah.
Jason in the chat says they're probably just making use of their surplus parts before the system dies.
That's actually crossed my mind. I think that's exactly right. They're trying to get rid of those black insides. And guys, look, this is the same black insides you get if you buy like the regular black 2DS or 3DS XL, right? Yep. It's if you bought the 3DS XL the new 3DS XL when it came out, it's the same one, except you don't get the glossy outsides like the others. It's neat, but I've seen lots of people be critical about it. Phoenix Moore over in our line chat has been super critical about how when you open it up, Samus is upside down.
Yeah.
And he's right. I mean, like, well, like, it doesn't look like a really cool presentation piece when you've got, you know, you're playing it and somebody goes, oh man, he's got the Metroid 3DS and Samus is upside down, you know? So I don't know, like, do you know anybody who's going to be picking this up?
I don't know anyone personally, but, you know, I'm sure we'll see a bunch of pictures and chatter on Twitter when it does launch.
Yeah, and you know what the crazy thing about it is that Nintendo of America knew about the inside, like how underwhelming it was, and they didn't even show pictures of it. Like, they showed the outside, they showed it closed, they showed it open, they showed the box. It took, like, the Nintendo of Europe pre-order page for us to finally see the inside.
Oh, and they showed it open on the backside showing, so you can see Samus upside down.
Yeah, that just, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Speaking of I'm sorry, Mewtwo is coming to raid battles in Pokemon Go soon. And the reason I say speaking of I'm sorry is that's what a lot of Pokemon Go fans are going to hear from Niantic when they're unable to find Mewtwo. Because, Jesse, I don't even understand how this works. Can you explain? Because, like, not everybody can go battle Mewtwo, even though that's the premise that, like, if you think back to when Pokemon Go, like, when the commercial came out and everybody's in Times Square and they're battling Mewtwo and everybody's cheering and everything, looks like that's what you were going to get to do. But all of a sudden, maybe not. Maybe it's not for everybody. Can you tell us?
Well, they're doing something called exclusive raids with Mewtwo, which means you have to be invited. And so in order to get invited, you have to have completed a raid at you know, whatever gym that Mewtwo plans on spawning at. So if you want to increase your probability of getting invited, you want to go to as many different gyms and participate in as many raids as you can. If you can find people to help you, of course, because
right,
the way these things work, you know, I'm still only 28. I'm still probably experience points wise, less, you know, maybe about half of the way, maybe even less, still less than half, between 0 and 40, because it ramps up steep, you know, at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at where I'm at, I can only take down a level 2 gym raid by myself. I come close to a 3, but if I had another player, like my identical, then we could take it down. And then the level 4s, I would probably need 4 or 5 people. And then the legendaries at level 5, I would probably need 7 to 9 people just to take it out. So, and then, of course, Mewtwo is going to be the level 5 raid. So not you'll have to get invited to it. And they'll tell you in advance when and where to meet. So hopefully to try to get together with other people who's gotten invited. And then you'll probably have a chance to do it. But other than knowing in advance, that's pretty much the only advantage this invitation raid gives you. You know, I've already written off that I'm never going to see a legendary, have a legendary, because there's just not enough players in my area that I know of to work together to do a raid.
So the picture in that commercial of people in Times Square capturing Mewtwo is literally what you're saying is that's going to be where that's the only place you can probably do it.
Yeah. When it was the real life equivalent to that was the Japanese event last weekend, where I think people were able to catch Mewtwo, unlike the Chicago event, right, where they had their Lugias handed, delivered on a platter because.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, and the reason for that, we understand, is that they just had this epic crap the bed moment, you know, at Pokemon Go Fest. Yeah. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Like, I don't understand it. Like, I played Pokemon Go that first year, I guess, or the first 6 months, you know, that summer it came out and it got super hot and everybody was playing, I guess it was like 2 summers ago, and it was fun.
Last summer.
Was it last summer?
Yeah, the game's only been around a year.
Well, felt like 2 years. when you're an old man like me.
That was the whole point of the Chicago event, was to celebrate its 1 year anniversary. Well,
there you go. So here's the deal. Like, it was fun for me, but the whole reason that I quit playing it in the beginning was because it was hard to find Pokemon in my area, because we're in a rural area And it's just super hard to not just get Rattatas and Zubats over and over and over again, you know. So, of course, now there's more diversity in what I can pick up, and I'm seeing more. And, you know, gyms are, I guess, the whole gym system and everything and partner Pokemon has come in and changed the game. But, like, I still see there's people who are really hanging on to this. So it's, like, it's, I guess it's good in a way. I mean, it's good for Pokemon. It's good for Nintendo. It's good for Niantic. But, like, there's still, like, they do things like this, like the raid battles. But then there's still other stuff that you still can't do. And I wonder, are they spending too much time on this aspect of it instead of getting, like, PvP battles and trading and different things like that going.
They're still promising, though. They're coming.
Well, yeah, it's coming. It's always going to be coming. It's kind of like, remember Duke Nukem? You know, Duke Nukem Forever was coming for years, man. I mean, I really hope it's not that kind of wait for Pokemon fans, though, because I get it. Like, my son still wants to play. You know, he's still like, Dad, let's go hunt Pokemon. I'm like, where are we going to go? You know, there's nowhere around here. I mean, if I drive 20 minutes away, there's more of a chance. But, you know, I do have it on my phone, and I'll pop it open every now and then and get some Pokeballs and capture something. But
I still try to play every day. You know, and in fact, I was busy today all day, so I didn't have a chance to play. So I just now caught a Pokemon to continue my streak. You know, but I'm not going to be able to get to a Pokestop to spin that, so I'm going to lose that streak.
Right. You mean your house isn't a Pokestop?
No. I wish it was. I'll have spawns I can catch at my house, but not a Pokestop.
Yeah. Well, let's move on. I think that's probably all we can say about that. If you manage to get invited to a raid battle against Mewtwo, or even defeat Mewtwo, can you catch him if you defeat him?
Yeah, I'm sure. That's the whole point.
If you do that and you're a fan of the show, send us some pics. Find us on Twitter over at Nintendo Dad. Shoot us some pics and stuff, and tell us about your journey, because that's super exciting. I mean, Mewtwo is a big deal, and we would love to hear from our fans that are doing that.
Before we move on, the big unknown as of Monday, which ended Zapdos, is what's going to happen, because they only told us what was going to happen for 3 weeks after Chicago. Apparently, what's happening now until the end of the month is all four legendaries are spawning. So Lugia is still spawning, and all three birds are still spawning randomly. What'll happen when September rolls around, we don't know yet.
Oh, well, okay. So
my son actually did try to catch, I think it was a Lugia. He was with a friend, and then he actually found a group of five people. So there was seven of them trying to attack this thing. They were unable to take it down.
So then that brings the question of how many people are you going to have to invite to take Mewtwo down?
I don't know. Well, I know my son isn't as high as level as I am. He's like 21, 22.
Right,
and I don't think he's been grinding up any of his Pokemon's strengths, so they're probably all the middle of the road CP wise. So,
yeah,
and who knows what the other six kids looked like?
Gotcha. Just keep on keeping on, Pokemon Go players. You'll get there, and you'll get there. Maybe you'll reach that shiny Mewtwo in the sky. Eventually here soon. Hey, speaking of shiny, a couple of cool releases that came out this week. Actually, three. We like shiny new things here around Nintendo Dad's HQ. Rayman's Legends Definitive Edition demo is now out on the Switch eShop. And ironically, it's the exact same demo that was on the Wii U 5 years ago.
I'm not surprised. It's
the same thing. It's the same four levels that you can play. But I will say I've had a lot of fun with it. I Rayman Legends is one of those games that I loved when it came out, and then it kind of got lost in the shuffle of all the other Wii U releases that came out, and I never really went back and revisited it. It's stupid fun and brilliant. Like, those music levels where you're running and you're jumping and punching to the beat are just so good. They're so well done. The art in that game is gorgeous, and the sound effects are amazing, and music is good. This is launching the first weekend in September, I believe, September 3rd.
And I can look for sure.
It's coming out on Switch for $39.99. So it's not going to be a full. No, it's not going to be a full price game. Plus, you're getting, I think, DLC and things that came out with it, extra costumes and all kinds of other stuff. So totally a cool purchase, especially if you've never played Rayman Legends.
I have September 12th for a launch date of that.
Okay, September 12th. Probably one of the best platformers that has come out in the last few months or in the last few years. I mean, just being honest, it's, yeah, I love it. It's fantastic. Also out this week, Monster Hunter Stories, which is the supposed to be or supposedly was the kiddie version of Monster Hunter. It's on the 3DS eShop. You can pop over there and download that. I've downloaded it. I haven't been able to play it yet. I've got backlog problems right now. And I also have, and we'll talk about this here in a minute, but so this is not a segue. I also have Sonic Mania problems right now. And mainly the problem is I can't find enough time to play it all the time. So, but Monster Hunter Stories has come out, and several people that I've talked to have said this is amazing. If you'll remember, this is the one that the Amiibo came out for in Japan last year. And these Amiibo are larger scale Amiibo, probably on par, maybe not as large as the Guardian, but larger than your normal sized Amiibo. And they actually have removable riders. So the riders can switch from beast to beast and kind of like they do in the game. So, Jesse, have you ever played Monster Hunter? Or are you going to play this one? Excuse me.
I tried to play Monster Hunter Tri. I was looking forward to it. That on paper, it was at the time, you know, on paper, that sounded like it was a game right up my alley. I got it on launch day, and I was extremely disappointed in it. So, and it kind of ruined me for that franchise, and I haven't tried it again since. So I'll probably still pass on this one because I've got other things I need to be playing.
I played Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, I think, the demo that came out on the 3DS, and I was excited to try it, you know, because people had just been telling me how epic and how awesome Monster Hunter was, and so I decided to try that, and I was like, is this just a hard game? Or do I just suck as a game player? Like, do I just suck at video games? Because it's like, that's literally how I thought after the first time I played it. I was like, I've got to be doing something wrong. You know, like I can't. And you know, you come to find out that Monster Hunter is not just like, you can't just roll up in there and Leroy Jenkins the crap out of the monster. You know, you can't just go in there with guns blazing. You've got to have a strategy. You've got to analyze its weak point. You've got to analyze its patterns. And, you know, in my house and then the games I play, ain't nobody got time for that. That's just kind of the feeling I came away from four with.
Right. Yeah. In our future game release schedule, I still had that as sometime this fall. But I did look, and it now has a release date of September 8th.
Yeah, it's coming soon. I'm going to try the demo. I've heard that the battle system is not as – it's not like a free-range battle like it has been in the past. It's more like an RPG, I think, turn-based. I'm not sure. I'm just extrapolating that from what people have said in our line chat. But I'm going to give it a go this weekend. I'm going to have a little bit of downtime. When I'm not playing another release that came out this week, and man, oh man, kind of can't wait to talk about this when we get to what we're playing. Sonic Mania is out. It came out yesterday, and I'm just going to say this and we'll move on because this is news. As of today, Sonic Mania is the highest reviewed Sonic game in the last 15 years.
I'm not surprised. I'm not sure if it was how jokeful or truthful this is, but I heard that this was kind of like they brought on like fan game developers to work on the game, and that's the reason why the game is as good as it is versus something that's come out of Sonic Team in the well, by themselves. Again, I don't know how legit that is. That was just
what
I've heard.
I'll save it for the later segment, but I'm just going to say this. They just need to retain these guys. Like, keep them on retainer. And if they want to crank out one of these, like, every, you know, year, I'm cool with that. Like, I'm going to say this and move on, but this is the last thing. If this is the only way that Sonic ever is presented again, I'm okay with that. Like, forget Sonic Forces. Yeah, well, forget Adventure.
We'll find out when Forces come out.
I'm so scared that Forces is going to be just hot garbage water now.
I've heard that the Switch version has issues. I didn't hear exactly what those issues were, though.
I'm sure it's frame rate. I'm sure it's like everything. Like, did you know Overcooked has frame rate issues on the Switch?
I've heard that too.
Everything has frame rate issues on the Switch. It's like, it's almost like they didn't know what it was, which is a segue into our next news piece. Shocking. Here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jesse, why don't you tell us a little bit about EA here?
Oh boy. Where do I start? So the headline here is EA to judge participation on Switch on FIFA 18 sales. VP puzzled by the Switch when first told about it. When I first heard that, my initial response was, well, I didn't know what Wii U was either, and we saw what happened with that.
Can I just say that I don't think we need to spend too much time on the vice president thing. The vice president of EA said that they were, quote, puzzled by the Switch when they were first told about it or it was first revealed. Okay. I'm just going to say this. I have a 9-year-old daughter, and she knows what the Switch does, and she knew what the Switch does intuitively as soon as she saw it. It's not hard. When it's docked, it's on the TV. When you pick it up, it plays on the screen on the thing. You take the controllers off, and that you can play together. What is puzzling about that?
I don't know. And back even, you know, 6 months before launch, when all the rumors were going around, and the rumors that were true started all piecing together into this thing that, in my mind, is like the golden machine. It's exactly what I wanted in a new system. And
yes.
It's what I wanted. And it's what I got exactly what I wanted.
As an aside, and this is something crazy I've noticed, I have adapted to playing the Switch almost totally as a handheld.
I pretty much have as well. The only time really dock it is when I want to do streaming.
Yeah, like I was playing this morning before I went to work, and my son's like, "Hey, Dad, don't you want to try Sonic Mania out on the TV?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, I guess I should." You know, I'd played it almost exclusively in handheld mode. And there's, I mean, I think I picked up the habit where I really think that I solidified the habit was Severed. Cause I spent about 7 or 8 hours on Severed over like 4 or 5 days. And that was really all I was playing. And I was playing it to get finished with it because I need to write a review of it. And, I mean, I enjoyed it. I don't want it to sound like I didn't enjoy it, but like you can't play that game on the TV.
Right.
You know, so I was carrying my Switch everywhere, and Splatoon I have played almost exclusively as a handheld, so much so that playing it with a pro controller feels weird in my hands. And I do worse. I do worse on the TV than I do in my hands, which I have no explanation for. But yeah, EA is going to judge their participation on the Switch based on FIFA 18 sales, which has to be one of the most god-awful practices for judging participation on a system ever. Literally what they've said is, hey, let's judge our participation on this brand new console on a niche game in a niche market with a version that doesn't even compare to Xbox One and PS4. Right? I mean,
That sounds about right. Yeah, you know, Capcom's been doing the same thing too, and we've talked about that. Yeah. And it's, you know, the few games that I would buy from Capcom, they're not putting out.
You know,
the games that they are putting out, I'm not interested in, so I'm not going to buy it. So therefore, I'm not buying the games I don't want, so they're not going to make the games I want.
Here's the crazy thing.
Doing the exact same thing.
Here's the crazy thing. You know how lots of people say things like, Nintendo just needs to get with the times. Nintendo just needs to get with the times. Well, I feel like that's reversed now. I feel like almost everybody is saying, this game would be incredible if it were on the Switch. This game would be so much better if it was on the Switch. Man, I wish I could take Overwatch with me on the Switch. I wish I could play this on the Switch. And so now the paradigm has been shifted. Nintendo has actually done it. They've shifted the paradigm to the point that now it's, hey, EA, Capcom, third-party developers, you need to get with the program. You know, you need to get with the times. Put your games on the Switch.
And we don't if it isn't as shiny or doesn't have as many sparkly effects or doesn't have as many shaders. We understand that. We get it. We don't care. We put the games we want to play.
But here's the thing. This holiday season, when the actual third-party games that are kind of big start hitting, are going to be the tail of the tape for the Switch, unfortunately.
Skyrim, I think, is going to be the big
Skyrim is going to be, like, if Skyrim does... I'm in a bunch of Nintendo groups on Facebook, and one of them the other day, somebody was like, do you think Skyrim will do 3 million on the Switch? And somebody's response was, if it even does 1.5 million, it's going to be a huge success. Well, and I agree.
At this time, we have only three games that are in a million, past a million, which is fine because that's still 20 to 25% attach rate, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I think Skyrim does have a chance of being a million seller. Maybe not. Obviously not in the first quarter. Maybe not in the first year. But in lifetime, definitely, I think it has a chance.
I think it does, too. And I really think that if they would have, and maybe this is why it's taken so long to come out. I know they've got, like, the Zelda costume in there and the Master Sword and stuff. But if they did, one vein of side quests that was, like, Zelda inspired or something like that. Oh my gosh, dude. Can you imagine? it gets like that would hook people in even more. Well, but
another reason for the delay until fall is because on the other systems, they are getting like, I think PC specifically, I don't know about PS4, but they're getting a VR version of Skyrim, going to use the similar motion controls that the Switch is going to be using.
Right.
So I'm sure they'll be kind of their released in parallel.
Yeah, I think so. Are you going to pick up Skyrim, by the way?
No.
I know we're talking about EA, but I think I'm actually going to. I didn't give it a fair shake on 360 when I played it. I only played it for like 30 minutes, and I was like, this is stupid.
Yeah, that franchise has been weird with me. I've never heard of the name of the franchise is escaping me.
Morrowind?
No,
Elder Scrolls.
Elder Scrolls.
Yeah. Morrowind is a place.
Yeah. I think that's the third game. The name of the third game. But anyway, when Oblivion was coming out on PC, the fourth game in the franchise, I heard all the hype. I'm like, okay, I think I'll be interested in trying this out. And I bought it at launch for PC. Never touched it.
Wow.
So when I got my PS3, about a year after it launched, so we're talking about late 2008 now, I picked it up with the PS4 version of Oblivion. I did put it in, got to through the tutorial, which is about an hour long, stepped outside, and I'm like, I don't know what to do next. It's so open world, they don't tell you what options you have. They just say, do something. I'm like, no. That's as far as I've gotten. I've never tried Skyrim.
And when I say I didn't give it a fair shake, I rented it from Redbox on a night that I didn't really have time to put into it, and I didn't get home till like 11 o'clock, and I tried to play it, and I put 30 minutes into it, fell asleep with the controller in my hand, and then got up the next morning and was like, well, that was crap, and sent it back. Turn it back in. I'm going to try it again.
Game rentals in general in Redbox sound nice on paper, but
it's a
bad idea only getting a game for 24
hours. It's good to be able to try it, but and see if you want to make the purchase. If you're sitting there burning for a purchase,
I actually did that with Final Fantasy 15, and
me too.
Got partway through the tutorial and I'm like, I hate this.
I made it through like the first day or the first chapter, And then I was like, I want this. Got it for Christmas and never touched it. So yeah, it was fuel for the Switch at GameStop. But yeah, I'm going to check it out. Like, especially I think with Skyrim and even to a greater extent, Zelda, I think works on the Switch for me, for people like me, because I'm not at home a lot, you know, I'm traveling or I'm out and I can pick it up at my office and play for 15 minutes or something. So I'm definitely going to do it. Yeah, but back to our original thing, like companies like EA and Capcom and everything, like, I want to say, how much more fervor do you need surrounding Nintendo and the Switch to like go, okay, we'll buy in, you know? And we've talked this to death on episodes in the past and today. And I just don't know, like, I don't get it. And I guess it's like, I don't understand economics and you know, development and all kinds of stuff. But like, man, at least, like, dude, Capcom, at least like churn out a Mega Man or something, you know, put try something different, you know, make a DuckTales game for the new series.
Or at least give us Disney Afternoon.
Like, give it to us as a download, you know, like, you don't even have to make a physical thing. I mean, how hard is that? Just put it on a server and let us download it. Anyway, moving on. Nintendo, a couple other things we'll reach pretty quickly. Nintendo has teased a new fighter and a new stage for ARMS. The stage is a storefront or a street view with storefronts around it. And oddly, candy symbols on poles in the middle that kind of look like, I don't know, they look like, you know, like little wrappers and things that you would have. And then after that, they teased grainy security footage, quote unquote, of a new fighter who appears to have like balloon pants or hammer pants or, you know, like Princess Jasmine pants.
You can't touch this.
Yeah. That's the title for the show, by the way. And like doing this weird, almost, and here's the weird part that like kind of freaked me out about it, was like the movement of this new character's legs almost looks like the way Helix walks. You know, like real high steps and like real weird movements and everything. So I'm kind of hoping it's not just like a palette swap or some weird, like, oh, here's the guy who made all the Helixes. But anyway, I mean, we're getting a new stage and we're getting a new character probably very soon. I would say within the next month. So ARMS fans, rejoice. Hope you're still playing ARMS. I love ARMS, but I haven't touched it since Splatoon came out, and I'm afraid a lot of people are the same way.
I think that's a very common story.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard for me to – I mean, when I have very limited online time, it's hard for me to you know, go back and forth. You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's hard for me to justify ditching one for the other when I like – even though I like both. So it, usually what happens is I end up playing neither. And so, last story here, Nintendo has announced that they will hold a quote special panel at PAX West 2017, which is, I think it's kind of unusual for them. They haven't been one for doing panels, in the last few years, have they?
I really haven't followed that type of, thing, but yeah, my understanding, I could be wrong, but I don't think Nintendo has ever actually held a panel themselves. They've had booths if they've had something to share, and they've had PAXs where they just didn't show up at all.
Yeah.
But yeah,
so this is kind of a new step for them. I'm thinking Treehouse panel here.
Likely.
I'm thinking that we're going to get something from the Treehouse. Maybe, when is PAX West?
Yeah. I don't know either. Yeah. Good show prep.
Yeah.
September 1st through 4th.
Okay, so Labor Day weekend. Maybe some Metroid stuff. Mario Odyssey.
I would expect them to be there because this is long, you know, during the same time as the what we talked about last week with the World Championships.
Yeah.
In fact, I wonder. Just World Champions at Seattle that weekend? I have to look it up.
Huh. That's a good question.
It's in Seattle. Nope, Seattle is the week after.
This isn't like the finals, is it? I mean,
no.
Oh no, because it's a week after. Yeah, the New York City October 7th is the finals. So they're gonna be at a special panel. Here's what we don't need to do. Okay, I'm gonna quote the great sensei Zach Erickson here when I say this: high hopes, low expectations. Right? Let's just say that. So high hopes. I hope as high as you want to. But, ladies and gentlemen, let's keep those expectations really, really low. To be honest with you, besides maybe one or two super crazy surprises, I think we've seen all Nintendo is going to show us for the rest of the year.
I don't think we'll see anything new. I think they'll show off what they've already shown us before. They'll let more people have hands on with it. But yeah, I don't think this will be a place for announcements.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
This isn't an Apple keynote.
Yeah. I don't think this is going to be like, and one more thing. Although, speaking of, we should probably expect an Apple keynote here in September.
Yeah, that's normally when they announce the new iPhone.
I'm really hoping for it. So that's the news for episode 142. Let's move into a little bit of what we've been playing, all right? All right, so let's have a little chat about what we have been playing over the last week or so. Jesse, we'll start with you.
Okay, mine will be pretty short and sweet. I've been playing. I got into Miitopia, and as of the show last week, I haven't picked it up since I bought it, so I only played up through the demo. And when you guys are talking about that, there's several worlds going on, and every time you get to a new area, at least, then they reset you. They take away all your friends. You lose your powers, and you have to get a new job, and then you find new friends. So you have to start over every time. So I thought the demo was just World 1, and no, World 1 is probably three times the size of the demo. So
I'm actually surprised at the depth of this game. You know, like I don't know. I think I saw a picture of you on Twitter where you're a tank right now.
Yes.
So that means you're in the world of the Fae.
I just finished the Fae, but just before we started recording.
That so far that has been the only negative thing in this game for me. It took forever. I never thought we were going to get out of the land of the Fae. I was so tired of it by the time we were done.
Me too, but probably for slightly different reasons. So I think by the time I finished the first world, I had like 500 faces saved. And so I spent a lot of time in that world. I gold flagged everything. A lot of those levels you had to go through three or four times to catch all the paths. So if you do that, you're kind of self-grinding. It isn't as tedious as it is, especially if you put it on auto fight and just hold the B button down to let it fast forward. It doesn't take a lot of time to do this.
But auto fight will get you in trouble sometimes. Let's just be honest about that.
True, but I still think I don't think I would have made better decisions on my own.
Right.
I think the tank probably got me more in trouble. But
the tank. I love the tank and I hate the tank.
Yeah, but I'll get back to that in a minute. So I felt I had a lot. I spent a lot of time in the world one. Most of my friendship links, I think all of them were at least 10. Some of them were actually up to 15. And then when that got reset, when I got to the second section, that seemed to have flown by. And I think when at the end, I was like up to 750 to 800 faces. So I only spent like half the time in World 2 as I did in World 1. So the levels weren't as high. The friendship ranks weren't as high. And there was a point where I felt I actually had to do some grinding myself because the game didn't give me natural opportunities to grind like World 1 did for me to finish some of those end world areas. So, and then World 3 was kind of little kind of in between.
See, that's the way that I felt about World 3. The same way you felt about World 2 has been World 3 for me, because I don't know. Like, the first world, I used my family as my party. And so I felt this big attachment to them. And like my wife and I's friendship rating was 32 by the time I ended the first world. Dang. Because I just kept landing on luxury cruise tickets over and over again and sending me and her every time. Because, I mean, why am I going to send my kids on a luxury cruise, even in a video game? Right?
Yeah. I was a little more lenient with my ticket, that spinning wheel use.
Yeah.
Only did them when I thought I had a chance of getting an upgrade.
Right. So there was that. And then so like in the second world, I had just friends, you know, and I may have had, I don't know, I think I got one person who was like a celebrity or something, which is not a big deal to me. And then in the third world, like these people. Okay. So the third world, I'm just going to be honest, is me, Grumpy Cat, you, and another friend.
Okay.
Yeah. And in your honor, I used the flower job for you because I thought it was the closest thing to Tingle.
Nice.
And Grumpy Cat is obviously a cat. And my friend is a princess, and I was a tank. And here's the deal. Those do not work well together at all. That is not a good combination. Whereas in the original, like my wife and my son and my daughter and me, we were a knight, a warrior, a mage, a pop star, and a, what was he? Maybe he wasn't a thief. What was the other option? He was a chef. And that worked amazingly together. Like, it was nuts.
Yeah.
How quick we killed enemies.
So I think you can reuse classes if you want to on the other characters other than yourself.
You can, but here's the thing. I will say this.
But I didn't either. I ended up spreading out all every character has a different class.
Yeah, that's mainly what I've done except for the cat. I used it for a friend of mine, then I came back and used it for Grumpy Cat, because Grumpy Cat can't be anything other than a cat. You know, it just doesn't make sense. So I got to, and I don't know, because we're at the same point, and since I've been playing this, we kind of talk about this. I guess there's a point where if you lose too many times on there's one that I'm thinking of, and you said you just finished the World of the Fae, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you go into this like leading up to the Dark Lord's castle, and it's called Karkaton. Yeah. And in Karkaton Pass, there is or Karkaton Ascent or something like that. There's one level where it splits into the three, and it says for, like, I've never seen this in any other level. It says beginner, intermediate, and pro. All right,
and I haven't seen that level yet.
I did beginner. And went through, and I was like, okay, I'll go back and do it again. And I went through, because I've gold flagged everything so far, like as I go. I don't move on from a level until I have a gold flag on it. So I went through that. I went through intermediate just fine, which, by the way, after the third time, when you go into Karkaton, the Dark Lord steals your friends again, but he is unable to take your power. So you remain a level whatever and remain whatever job you are. Okay, so I went into this as a tank, and you have to go through a majority of this level by yourself until you get to the Sage's house and he helps you find your friends. Mm-hmm. And it's randomized. Like, it's a random selection of the three parties. You find three of them. So I went to pro because I had one of my friends. I was like, okay, we can do this. And you know the imp enemy, not the costume, but the imp enemy? Yeah. Well, there's a more powerful version of that, different color, called a fiend.
Okay.
And the fiend has an attack that it can do that it immediately hits you for 999 damage and kills you.
I came across him once, yeah.
Okay. So with one of them and, you know, kind of a full party, that's manageable, right? So we had two people on the pro, killed the first, like the first fight was like four things. I was like, great, we're going. You know, we get to the middle fight. It's two fiends who use that attack at exactly the same time and kill us both.
Wow.
So we went back. So I was like, okay, you know what? I need to find my other party members. So I went and grinded through and found all my other party members. Went back, went to pro again. They do that four times in a row.
Ouch.
And kill, like, they do their turn. They kill two of us. We don't get resurrected. You know, like the flower, you got killed first. So that, well, no, you weren't even in there. I don't even have anybody that can do resurrection right now. So they, kill two of us. We hit them one time. They kill the two of us. And so when it happened,
have one life sprinkle.
I did. And I didn't think to use it. So this time, because I'd lost one other time, I think I've only lost like three or four times. This time, when we went back to the inn, the sage pops up and it's like, special bonus. Since you've killed so many faces or whatever, you now have this ability to change jobs whenever you want to.
Oh, nice.
And so I was able to change myself back to the warrior class, and it keeps your level. So it's basically the Final Fantasy job system now. So if you level up to a certain point in this job, you'll always be that level, but it doesn't transfer over to other people. So, like, you know, I'm a level 12 warrior. My wife's going to be like a level 13 mage. But if she wants to start something else, she's not level 13 anymore. She's level 1. And you can go back and you can grind through and level them up. And I guess it's in a way of, once you find everybody in there, you're going to be able to pick your perfect party and go on and fight the Dark Lord.
Right. That's kind of what I figured it was going to be.
So, yeah, that, like, I'm excited about the ability to do that.
Yeah, I was able to pretty much gold flag everything as I went along, with the exception of, like, one level early in the second area when I was still by myself. They had two branching paths literally labeled easy and hard.
Yes. And I need to go back and do that. I'm glad you mentioned it.
Okay.
I totally forgot about that.
I did go back and do the hard before finishing the world after I've had my party filled up and leveled up a little bit.
Yeah. But overall, like, I've really enjoyed this game. Like, I've really gotten back into it in the last couple of days. I put it down completely for Severed, and then I put it down completely because I hate Pikmin. And then I came back to it, and I've charged through, like, most of World 3 in a day, and I'm through Carcaton up to, like, going to the next area. Like, I'm ready to walk into the inside of it or whatever. So I've really, like, I've been surprised how enjoyable it's been.
Yeah, so I'm just a little bit behind you. I haven't gotten to the part where I could change my classes yet. And I've only saved one of the first three of my friends in the fourth area. Yeah.
Which one did you do? What was the boss battle?
It was the red slime.
Okay.
And it was actually that Justin's one, face.
That one is arguably the easiest of them. The other one is a burning golem that you have to fight. And then I want to say the other one is, God, what is it? I can't remember it, but it was difficult.
Yeah,
there was one of them that was super difficult.
I kind of did the same thing you did when I picked my party. The world one was, you know, a bunch of the friends I knew. World two kind of went more toward family, and then world three, I just decided for that one, I'm just going to go into the me gallery and pick a face that I like from there. And so I ended up finding a Tharia, which I gave her princess.
Huh.
I found Marie, gave her the flower. And then I'm like, but before I found Marie, when I got the second friend in that set, I'm like, I'm going to make this guy the chef because I haven't used him yet and I want to use him next. And one of the faces that I had to choose from, Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, yeah, you got to do
so,
that.
So, okay, he's my chef.
Yeah, you got to do that. Out of all of them, though, I got to say this. I think the princess class is the most useless.
Yeah.
It's so bad. Like, and I've leveled mine up. I think she's a level 12 or 13 now. And still is not hitting in double digits for power.
Like the flower starts weak but gets stronger really pretty quick.
I was really surprised by it. It's like the cat. The cat starts really weak, and then by the end of it, the cat is your powerhouse.
So yeah. So going back to the tank, we talked about it a little bit last week. But the tank's abilities have a tendency to tick off your party.
Because you're using them as weapons.
There's one where you use them as the weapon. There's a second one where you just do random spray with a chance to hit your friends.
Yeah.
Okay. But I have noticed that sometimes there is an advantage to having them upset at each other.
And what is that?
Like, you know how you'll have, like, when they're friends, they'll do special things and to help each other out. When they're mad at each other, especially when two of them are mad at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you ever seen it where, like, one's mad at someone and the one guy will take a move, but the one who's mad says, no, I'll go instead. And then they make a move. So that's basically a free turn. So that's a little bit to your benefit. But if they're both mad at each other, the first person tries to attack, but the second person butts in. But then the first person butts in front of that. They start fighting themselves, getting closer and closer to the enemy. So the enemy gets mixed into this rumble. Both of your party members will take a little bit of damage, but the enemy takes a lot. So even though weird things happen when they're upset, they usually do benefit you in the end.
Yeah. Well, here's my story about the tank. At one point, right before the Dark Lord kidnapped my third group, every single person was ticked off at me.
I don't think I've had that, but I am at a point.
I don't understand it, because I understand why two of them were ticked off. Like, one of them got ticked off at me because I shot him out of the cannon, you know, like one too many times. Another one got ticked off because I used the spray, rapid fire, random fire, and hit him. And the third one got mad because, like, if you level up the tank enough, you get a laser beam weapon. Have you got that one yet?
Yeah, I like the weapon.
It's nice. It's like it hits all the enemies. It hits them for the max damage that you do. It hits all of them. They just got mad because I kept doing that. It wasn't hitting them, but they got mad at me. And then like the first time it was like they're mad at you. And then I used it again and they got even more mad. And like the line between us got even squigglier. I was like, are you mad because I'm winning? Are you mad because I'm killing enemies now?
Yeah,
I don't get this.
I put it on a tweet earlier this week, back before I got Marie in my party. So it was just, you know, myself, Tharia, and Ramsey. But yeah, Tharia was upset at both of us for one reason or another.
Huh.
So that screenshot that looked kind of funny.
But what I love about it is they can be mad at you, but they, like, you may not be mad at them and you'll still help them out and it does nothing. Like, it doesn't affect their mood or anything. Like, you know, you would think, okay, they're mad at me. I'll go over here and help them out on hitting this monster or whatever and it'll kill them. Nothing. You know, so I don't know. So
it does obviously does slow down how fast you get those the social links. I can't think of a better word for that. I think myself and Marie only got to level 3 or 4, where myself and Tharia was like 10 or 11, because she spent more time mad at me than not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's enough about Miitopia. I mean, if you haven't heard us talk about it yet, either on the last couple episodes, it's totally one we think that you should pick up, especially if you like RPGs and maybe you're just looking for something that's a little bit more light. But have you been playing anything else, Jesse?
Yeah, and then I've been putting more time into Final Fantasy XII. You know, again, you know, I think I'm near the end of the game. You know, like last week I talked about the optional hunts. I think I might have gotten all of them done but one. But in what I've read on that one hunt, I need to be like level 70s in order to do it. And I'm most of I did get the achievement for having my party average 50.
Oh, okay.
But they're still like 47 to 53 in type of range. So they're all not 50 yet, but they're all getting up there, which is better than what I had before. At one point I had like my three strong ones mid 40s, my three weak ones were teens to low 20s. So right now they're kind of evened out.
Right.
So I think I'm near the end of the game. I have played this game back when it was new and to its completion, but I honestly don't remember anything that happened from this point on. So everything seems new to me.
Yeah.
You know, if you've played a game that you like, but you've only finished it once, but you started it like six or seven times, you're going to remember those first few hours, but you're not going to remember the end because you've only seen it once. That's kind of what this game is for me. So I hope to be able to finish it soon so I can move on to the other games that are coming out. And I probably should be able to finish Miitopia by next week as well.
Oh, yeah. I can't see it lasting all that much longer. But I am interested in the, like, where it goes. Because, I know that you saw this, too. That there's, like, a frozen area that's north of Area 1. That, you get to go up there, and then there's nothing up there.
I forgot about that, but yeah.
I wonder if that's, like, after this Carcaton or whatever, but who knows.
Maybe some post-game content.
It may be. It may be that, or it may be, the Dark Lord escapes to the frozen tundra.
World 5. Mysterious or maybe, World 5.
Maybe it's just Canada. And you get to go there.
You say hi to Zach.
You get to go there, and, yeah, Zach Erickson is there, and several other, like Justin, they'll let him be in there. He's still Canadian. I mean, come on. He's still Canadian. So they'll let him be up there, and you can go visit him and show him your amiibo, and he'll give you a new costume and some maple syrup and some Timbits and stuff like that. Yeah. Be totally fine. But yeah, go play Miitopia and check out Final Fantasy XII if you haven't. I've been playing a couple of games. I've been playing Donkey Kong 64, which, by the way, Jesse, I noticed you have not been playing.
I still plan on it. I just haven't gotten to it yet.
I spent about 2 hours with it on Monday night. And I will just say this. I know why I put it down when it came out. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to save all of my comments. I'll just say this. I don't like it. I actually did go in trying to be as objective as possible. But when you compare that game and that, like, knowing that it's on the N64, when you compare that game with Super Mario World, there is no comparison. As far and the two areas that I say that in are controls and camera. And Mario 64 really didn't even have a great camera. But when the camera is so bad that the game becomes unplayable to the point of frustration, then I have an issue with it. And that's my issue with Donkey Kong 64, is that it's just the whole, I got so mad the other night when I unlocked Diddy Kong, and I was like, yeah, all right, Diddy Kong. And then they're like, Diddy Kong can pick up red bananas. And I was like, what do you mean pick up red bananas? And then all these red bananas appear all over my map. And I'm like, so wait, Donkey Kong can't pick up a red, like if a red banana and a yellow banana are sitting right beside each other, Donkey Kong can't pick up the red banana, but he can pick up the yellow banana. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, And as the teenage girls say, I just can't. I just can't. And so I'm going to keep plugging away at it. I'm going to play it. I promise. But man, we're going to have to rethink these retro rewind voting things here, which reminds me, we need to open up retro rewind voting for September. We'll do that within the next week. But I've also been playing Sonic Mania, and I'm happy to report to you that Sonic Mania is totally the opposite emotion that I got from Donkey Kong 64. Sonic Mania, if anything, is more, okay, just one more level, just one more level, just one more thing, just one more, you know, and I find myself just wasting huge amounts of time playing it. That's how good it is. And I said this yesterday when it came out. My tweet specifically said Sonic Mania is brilliant, all caps, walk or run, don't walk to get it. And it, like, I can't explain to you unless you're a 2D Sonic fan, which I was back in the day, and never as much as a Mario fan, but I love Sonic for what it was back in the 90s, Sonic 1 through 3 and Knuckles. And this just absolutely nails it. Like, absolutely the best Sonic game I've played probably ever. And before that was Sonic 2. Like, most people say, I think Sonic 2 was probably the best of the series. I don't know. That's what I just hear a lot of people say. This is up there. Okay. And so just as a forewarn, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things I've encountered so far. So if you haven't played it yet and you don't want to be spoiled, now's the chance to start hitting that little 30-second thing on your podcast app to make it go forward. so the story loosely revolves around, it starts exactly the same way Sonic 3 does. Sonic is on Tails' plane. They're flying toward an island. And the reason that they're flying toward an island is that Eggman is there, and he is. And let me back up. I refuse to call him Dr. Eggman. That's such a dumb name. He's Dr. Robotnik. All right? And he always will be. And I don't know why they changed it. I mean, Eggman was always like the thing that Sonic taunted him as in the cartoon, you know? And then they just made it his official name. Right. But Dr. Robotnik is on this. He's on the island with those like little humanoid Dr. Robotnik robots that look like him. And they've got a claw in the ground, and they pull up this gigantic Chaos Emerald. And when they pull it up, it distorts reality around Sonic and all of them. And suddenly he flashes in and out, and he's in the Green Hill Zone. Like, one, you know, Green Hill Zone, Sonic 1.
It seems random.
Yeah. And so you play through the Green Hill Zone, and the way these levels are set up, which I think is super brilliant, is the first part of the level, act one of the level, is exactly what you remember. Okay, you're going to have fish jumping up out of the stream, you know, on the bridges. You're going to have the little moto bugs. You're going to have the little chameleon things. Everything is just like it is. And each level has a boss. Like, act one has a sub boss. Act two has the big boss. So once you play through act one and you beat it, play picks up immediately from there. Like, the screen just moves over and you continue playing like it's one continuous level. But from there, they start introducing new concepts into that. So, like, you've got Green Hill Zone, but now it's just a little bit extra. You've got things that you didn't see before. You've got things that you didn't do. Like, here's a big one. You remember in Sonic 1 and Sonic 2, even Sonic 3, they would have like the wooden bridge, and it would be spinning, and it would have spikes on it, and you would have to move across on the part that didn't have it. So I had a flame shield on, and I go to run across that, and it burns out under me and I fall. And there's like big tiki poles and all kinds of other stuff that wasn't in the first game. Okay. So totally neat way with that. So at the end of that level, the boss is the big egg robot from the Death Egg in Sonic 2. Eggman comes down in that, and he starts chasing you, and you have to like get him to shoot his arm out, and you jump on top of it and hit its head, hit it 6 times, you blow him up. From there, Sonic jumps down a hole that's created by this, and here's these robots again, and the big Chaos Emerald is there. It blinks again, and all of a sudden he's in the chemical plant zone from Sonic 2. Mm-hmm. And so you start playing through that, and like the first stage again is exactly what you expect from the chemical plant zone, right? You even go through that really frustrating part where you're underwater and you're having to climb up with those automatically moving platforms. Yeah, it's there. Then the level 2, Act 2 adds in a new concept. In this one, it's pockets of sticky goo that are on the wall that let Sonic jump into them and stick and then jump back and forth to scale walls.
Okay.
And also, like, these big syringe things that you press down on, and it changes the color of this goo underneath them, and then it gives it different levels of elasticity that send you jumping higher and higher. And so when you get to the end, this is the moment that I just freaked out about, okay? You get to the end of the Chemical Plant Zone Act 2 to fight Dr. Robotnik, and all of a sudden, it makes you play Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine against Robotnik. So in the Sonic game, all of a sudden, you're now playing Puyo Puyo.
Great.
Against Dr. Robotnik. And it is just the biggest, and like the sprites and everything, even like the aesthetic of the level, looks exactly like Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine did on Sega Genesis. And so the level of and the level of detail and nostalgia in this game is just off the charts. The third level is like a TV level, which you've seen previewed, you know, like it's kind of like a cross between the casino level in Sonic 1 and the pinball level in Sonic 3 and stuff like that. It's called Studiopolis, but just the nostalgia there, all the callbacks in that level alone are worth price of admission. Like when you start, there's a screen in the back that's just like black with light bulbs lighting up, and it says Lock On Technology. You remember what that was?
Was that where they like
Sonic? That's a Sonic and Knuckles.
Yeah, Knuckles can attach to three.
Yeah. So, and it, oh, you can use Lock On Technology. You can put Knuckles in any game and all kinds of stuff like that. Super cool. The game is only $20, and I'm in level 5, and I've barely scratched the surface. So far, out of the 5 levels I've been to, 3 have been nostalgic levels, and 2 have been completely brand new levels. And I keep expecting them to throw, you know, more brand new levels. I'm in, it's called like the Press Relic Zone or something like that, where I'm at right now. And literally just like beat the 4th level and dropped into that and had to quit this morning. So I've not seen any more of it. I'm really, really hoping for Marble Hill Zone from Sonic 1 just for the music. Because to me, that music is, it like sticks in my head for years. But the controls are on point. Sound effects are so good. There's a 2-player competition mode that you can play where you like speed run levels. There's stuff to unlock. It's just, man, it's super good. And I said this to Zach. He posted about Sonic Mania on Facebook, and I commented on it, and this is what I said. I said, this has done a better job of hitting the nostalgia button than Nintendo has ever done with New Super Mario Brothers. I will stand by that. Like, I love Mario and I love Nintendo, but like, this is a better game than the New Super Mario Brothers franchise. Like Nintendo's 2D Mario offerings over the last few years, and I'm gonna say the last few years, notwithstanding Super Mario Brothers 2, New Super Mario Brothers 2 for the 3DS, because I thought it was amazing, brilliant, with the whole coin gathering mechanic and everything.
Right.
But like New Super Mario Brothers Wii, New Super Mario Brothers, New Super Mario Brothers Wii U, they don't hold a candle to Sonic Mania. And I think what's cool about this is it shows what happens when you let fans of an IP go to town on it. You know, when you let people who truly love that, and the only thing that can be better is if they let like some real Mega Man fans get a hold of Mega Man. You know what I mean? Like if they let some of these people who are out there building Mega Man levels and doing Mega Man, Mega Maker and all that stuff, like if they would let them do what Sega has done for Sonic Mania, it would, yeah. And like we said earlier, this is the highest reviewed Sonic game in 15 years. And there's a good reason. It's not just because it's 2D and it's not just because it's retro and it's nostalgia. It's because it's a freaking good game. And like it's totally redeem Sonic in a way that Sonic Forces or Sonic whatever 3D or even Sonic Generations, which was praised in a lot of ways, would never have been able to do. It just hit all the right notes, and I am looking forward to squeezing every last drop out of it. It's that good. Now, there is a minor bug that we need to talk about. There is a minor issue with it that some people are having, and I had a major issue with it this morning. It is known that on the Nintendo Switch version that once you're playing it in handheld mode, the home button and the power button and basically anything but like the Joy-Con control buttons and control stick has a 4 to 6 second delay. Wow. So if you press the home button, it takes like 4 to 6 seconds for it to respond. And what happened to me this morning was, like I said earlier, my son was like, "Don't you want to play this on the screen?" And really, it was because he wanted to watch me play it. Right. And so I was like, "Sure, yeah, that's fine." So I docked it and I grabbed my Pro Controller and I hit the home button and nothing happened. So, I mean, the controller vibrated, it connected, and I didn't see that it had connected as player two. So I was like, why is it not doing anything? And so I hit the home button again and again because it didn't respond, right? And so for some reason that like in-game easy menu came up on the side, you know, that you can get from kind of holding down the home button.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do anything with it. I was still controlling Tails on the screen. So that menu got stuck on the screen and I couldn't do anything with it. So I was like, okay, I need to undock it and then get this menu away and then I'll do it. So I undocked it. Nothing happened.
I couldn't get it.
It was still stuck. And now I'm controlling Sonic, except it's behind this like grayed out panel, you know, in the menu. So then I was like, you know what? I'll just hit the power button. It'll be fine. Nothing happened. Power button, unresponsive. Home button, unresponsive. Photo capture button, unresponsive. Because I wanted to take a picture of it, you know, so I could show it and like tweet about it and say, okay, Sega, fix this. So finally, I had to hard reboot my Switch and dock it with it shut down and then reboot it with the Pro Controller, you know, so it would re-recognize as player one, and then it worked fine. But even then, when I stood up and was like, okay, I'm going to press the power button or I'm going to press the home button to go back to the thing, it was a 4 to 6 second delay even with the Pro Controller. So that's a known issue. It may be a minor issue to some people. It may be a major issue, but there it is. You know, your mileage may vary. Some people say they don't have it. All right. Anything else, Jesse, you've been playing? Anything else you want to say?
I don't think that's it.
All right. Well, that being said, let's move into the postman section. And our post office box, our postman section, is brought to us by 1UpBox.com. You can head over to 1UpBox.com and use the code NintendoDads to get $3 off your first box. We want to say thank you to our friends over at 1UpBox.com for sponsoring the show. You guys are awesome. And we only have one message this week from Brandon Howarth. And here's what it says. Hey, Dads, my question is about Nintendo Selects. Can you guys name 6 games on either Wii U, Switch, or 3DS that should be Nintendo Selects? Also, as constructive criticism, I think all talk of retro rewind games should be held for the rewind. Okay, so what you need to do, Brandon, is go back about 5 or 10 minutes and just skip over that part of the podcast and erase it from your memory. I think it kind of spoils the rewind when I know what you think going into the podcast. I agree. And we'll try to do better about that in the future, Brandon. But here's what we're going to do about your question. We're actually going to make this a discussion topic for next week's show. I would love for Zach and Justin to be able to weigh in with this, but we wanted to let you know that we got your letter, and we thank you for writing in. And you, too, can get on the show by writing to us. Just go over to nintendodads@gmail.com and send us along a question, or you can ask your question via Twitter, our Facebook page, Or later on in the show, I'll tell you a little bit more about our voice message line, which sadly hardly ever gets used. It's like you don't like to talk to us, son. It's been forever since you called, and your dear old mom just wants to hear your voice. Wait, never mind. That's just what my mom says to me. And so, Brandon, we will answer your question about Nintendo Selects on next week's episode, so tune in for that. And let's do this for our fans. If you have a game that you want to be considered a Nintendo Select, either on the Wii U, the Switch, or the 3DS, tweet us and use the hashtag Nintendo Dads Selects. Nintendo Dads Selects. That's a hashtag that you should use to tell us what game you think should be a Nintendo Select in this new generation, and we will read those on the show next week. Well, I think that about wraps it up. Hopefully you will not quit listening to Nintendo Dad since I tried to host this week. And hopefully Zach and even Justin will get to be back with us next week as well. Jesse, is there anything before we close out here?
I can't think of anything.
Awesome. Well, this is a reminder for you to be playing Donkey Kong 64 for Retro Rewind. And also a reminder that you can connect with us everywhere, literally everywhere. Follow us on Twitter at Nintendo Dads. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram, both of those Nintendo Dads. Email us at NintendoDads@gmail.com or check us out over at Twitch or YouTube at NintendoDads.com or Nintendo Dads. Call in and leave a voice message at 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-25-NDADS or 929-256-3237. And if you want to change the world even more, you can buy sweet Nintendo Dads merchandise over at tiny.cc/Nintendo Dads Store. That's all lowercase. We want to say a big thanks to OC Remix for the music played throughout the show. And this is just a reminder, download us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Check us out over at VGTribune.com and give us those 5-star reviews. They help people find us, and that is truly how you change the world. For myself, for Jesse, for Zach and Justin, who unfortunately have to adult, this has been Nintendo Dads. Bye-bye.
Jesse is amazing.
Wobble Puffet, Wobble Buffet.